You're listening to the Passion Church Podcast. We believe that today's message will help you thrive in your relationship with Jesus as you follow Him. We'll be back after the podcast with more information. And now, today's message from Pastor Aaron Kozlowski, right here at Passion Church.
Thanks, hon.
Wait.
Press down.
I really
I can't let this go. Press down, shaken together, and running over.
Well done. You get the award. If there was one, you get one. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Passion Church. It's good to be with you. You're awesome. It is really good to be with you. And we're going to get right into the message today. I got some exciting things to share with you. Just from the Word of God, just things that I've been getting in my time and with Him, and I just want to share with you today. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into this. Father, we thank You for every person watching today. Thank You for blessing them. Thank You for watching over them. Thank You for keeping them healthy. We proclaim health and vitality for not only those watching, but those who are here helping get this broadcast out today. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You that Your word is true, that Your word is good, that all the time, no matter what, You are faithful and You are good. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. We're going to read from the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Today's message is entitled, Lessons from the Life of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 4, before we start reading, God is, this is just kind of an aside, God is where you are. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's not a false spirit, not a miniature G.I. Joe action size figure, Jesus. You have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside you. So wherever you are, God is right there with you. Theologically, we know that God is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere at once because He's God. But you need to know that He is with you. Right now, He is with you. We were singing this morning that we need to praise Him and worship Him and join with all of heaven. And I was just so aware of the reality of heaven. And as I was crying out praising Him in the reality of heaven, I was also equally aware that He was right in front of me. That we were face to face, that He was closer than my next breath, and He is closer than your next breath too. He's right there with you, wherever you are. He never leaves you. And so Daniel chapter 4, we're going to begin this morning. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream about a tree. I know that kind of sounds interesting. our good friend Nebi. So Nebi has a dream about a tree. That doesn't sound all that important, except we go back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is that same Nebuchadnezzar that had set up the golden idol to himself, and here we are, and Daniel now is dealing with this Nebuchadnezzar. So in chapter 4, verse 1, I think you can see that picture. Isn't that picture amazing? It's just incredible. It's actually a depiction, an artist's depiction of Daniel reading from the Word of God, reading scrolls as the lions are just around him. Now, biblically speaking, there isn't any proof that he was doing that. He wasn't reading scrolls in the lion's den. However, we do know from what we read through the book of Daniel, that he was faithful in his prayer and he was faithful to study the Word of God. Matter of fact, he specifically read from the book of Jeremiah And he got on his face before God Almighty when he realized that it was time for the people of Israel to get out of slavery, to get out of bondage, and to be returned to Jerusalem. Man, he read that in the book of Jeremiah, and he knew exactly what to pray because God's word told him. And so we're going to get into this. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. I don't think I can adequately convey to you how huge this is to me in my heart right now. King Nebuchadnezzar sent a message to the people of every race, every nation, and language throughout the world. Imagine, if you will, that like President Trump sent a personalized message to each of the foreign dignitaries throughout the whole world. And I'm not just talking about Twitter. That this was a hand-delivered special message to each and every language and nation and race throughout the entire world. This is well publicized. This isn't like just a thought that he had. He sent it everywhere. Okay, now we also need to back up because the Babylonians at this time in the world were also the largest and most powerful nation on earth. So when they had something to say, good or bad, people had a tendency to listen. All right? King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know, this is the king speaking. I want you all to know. He's literally saying, I want the entire world to know what happened. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. Hallelujah. That is incredible. How great are his signs. How powerful are his wonders. His kingdom will last forever. His rule through all generations. This is a secular king. This is a heathen king. This is not Daniel. This is not a pastor. This is not a missionary. This is a heathen secular king. And he has just sent a message throughout the entire world that everyone would know, excuse me, how good God is. How incredible God is. That just gets me so excited. See, because I believe that I believe we're in a place right now in history where I would love to see this take place. Wherever you're from, imagine if the governor of your state gets up and declares in their weekly or daily even announcement of what's happening in COVID. I want everyone to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? And that is what is literally taking place here. This is what he says, verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity, but one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed, so I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. This is huge to me. Here is Daniel. No one else can interpret the dream. The king calls in Daniel. The king tells Daniel the dream, and Daniel immediately knows exactly what the meaning of the dream is. Daniel was in the perfect place at the perfect time to be a voice and a prophet, a voice of wisdom to this king. It's incredible to me. And we're going to get into what takes place. But so here's the dream. Basically, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that there was a giant tree. And in that dream, that a heavenly messenger said, cut it down. And the tree was cut down. All the animals that found shade ran away. And all that was left was the stump and the roots of the tree. And so in Daniel chapter 4, verse 18, Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means, for none of the wise men of my kingdom can do so. But you can tell me, ready? Because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Daniel, in every area of his life, it was obvious that the Spirit of God was with him. This was a secular job. He was an advisor to the king. He was a governor, a regional governor, if you will, over Babylon. His job was not to be a religious expert for the king. He just brought God into everything he did. But see, you got to understand, why was Daniel in Babylon? Daniel was in Babylon because he was a captive. He was a captive there. The Babylonians came through Jerusalem and they took the very best and wisest of all of the people into the service in Babylon. So here, Daniel is serving the king against his will. And he is still being honorable and just and righteous so that everyone knows that the Spirit of God was in him. He spoke with wisdom. He carried himself with wisdom. The Spirit of God was with him. So here is Daniel's explanation of the dream. Excuse me. Upon hearing this, verse 19, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. Then the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would have happened to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. Whew. Daniel is somewhere against his will. He's been drafted by a foreign entity into service. And what does he say? He doesn't say, I hate you. I can't stand you. You're such an idiot. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He says, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would have happened to your enemies, my Lord, and not to you. What does he do? He blesses the king. He blesses the king. You know, this is so appropriate for where we are in our nation. I'm so glad my wife brought it up, because wherever you are, I guarantee you have an opinion about what's going on around you. And I guarantee that there are people that you know that have an opinion that is different than yours. And this is such a shining example to us of how we can pray for and bless those in authority. I'm so glad Nicole prayed for our governor, because each and every one of us, we've talked about this throughout the year, how we have authority and we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And our mouth, out of our mouth, flows both blessing and cursing. That should not be. It should be just blessing, that we can bless the governor. So you know what we do that? We bless the governor of New York. We bless the governor of New Jersey. We bless the governor of California. We bless them. We say that they hear the voice of the shepherd and the voice of another they do not listen to. We say that they have peace of mind, that they are blessed and everything that they do. I thank you, Lord, that you declared that everyone who is in office is by your hand. So we thank you for those in office. We don't curse them, we bless them. We thank you for the power that we have to bless those who are in authority. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. I am in awe of how well Daniel behaved. Can we just be honest? I'm gonna be honest. Because I think in today's society, everyone is so quick to shoot off exactly what they think and make sure that everyone else knows it and then shun those who disagree with them. There isn't a rational conversation anymore about beliefs or what you think or where you're coming from on a subject. It's, oh, you're wrong. We can't discuss anymore. And especially if we have challenges with the decisions that maybe the president or our governors have made, the worst thing you can possibly do is curse them. Because you reap what you sow. So if you remember, Jesus said that we were to turn the other cheek, that we were to bless those who curse us, that we were to bless and not curse. We have the authority, and that's exactly what Daniel did. But we're going to read as we continue the story. We're going to continue to see what Daniel being in a place of authority and blessing and not cursing his king, what that made way for. It's awesome, absolutely incredible. But Daniel, he respected the king. I just want to read this again. I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to my enemies, Lord, and not to you. When's the last time you've ever prayed that over the governing authorities? I pray that only blessing would come to our president. I pray that only blessing would come to our governor. I pray that only blessing will come to our mayor. When's the last time you, yeah, there ain't no hands going up. Why? Because it gets in our craw. I can't believe they made that decision. What about my rights? I have rights. Yes, you do. We each have rights. And you know what Jesus did? He was the Son of God. He had every right to call down a legion of angels to blow up Rome and walk away. But he didn't. He laid down his rights so that others could be free. He gave up his right so that others could be free. Let's see what Daniel did and the results of this incredible story, all right? So a year later, let's fast forward a year later, Nebuchadnezzar is out walking on the veranda. He's out on the roof of his palace, and he is so filled with pride. He is so caught up in how awesome he is. And he starts declaring, he's out on probably the tallest building in the city, his palace. And he's looking out at the wonder of the majesty of Babylon. And he just goes on and on about how, look at all this majesty that I have made. How incredible I am to have built all this for myself and my splendor. And he goes on and on like this. And then a voice from heaven says the following, verse 32. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. Lives what way? What I skipped over was that in Daniel's interpretation and also this angelic voice from heaven declared that he would lose his mind as a man, that he would be driven out from society, and he would eat the grass like a cow, and the dew would be his bed. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 33, that same hour the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow and was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. So now we have 7 years passed. All right? After this time had passed, verse 34, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to the heavens. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, his kingdom is eternal, and all the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, "What do you mean by doing these things?" Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All of his acts are just and true. He is able to humble the proud. That's amazing. What's more amazing to me is this is the letter that he sent all over the earth to every single known habitation. He declared God's goodness. Daniel was in the right place at the right time by God's design so that he could speak into the king's life and speak into what was going on. Can you imagine if Daniel had blown up at the king? I'll tell you what, king, it's because you're an idiot that God's going to take you out. There would have been no room for restoration. There would have been no room for Daniel to maintain his place of authority. But instead, God made a way. Daniel understood that it wasn't about him. It was about God's fame on the earth. It was about God's reign. It was about a kingdom that he represented. And sure enough, after 7 years, he sends the king, Nebuchadnezzar, sends out this letter to all the inhabitants of the earth, all the inhabitants of the known world, and declares that the Most High God is the true God, the one true God. So his son, Belshazzar, he didn't learn from his father's mishaps, unfortunately. And so you can read the story of Belshazzar yourself. It's in Daniel chapter 5. But so Belteshazzar, it's pronounced differently in different texts. So he basically, I'll let you find out. So here we have Daniel chapter 6. We're going to continue on. Darius the Mede. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than... I can't do that to you guys. I'm not that mean. All right. So anyway, Belshazzar is in charge. He again, like his father, is all about himself and showing his splendor. And in that, he gets all of the holy... cups and goblets and everything like that from the temple of the Lord. And he and all his friends start toasting to the gods of silver and the gods of gold and all the false gods. And so God wasn't too happy about that. And so that night, Darius, who was the Medes of the Medes and Persians, King Darius came through and took over with an army, took over Babylon. Okay? And that night, Belshazzar died. So here we now have Darius in charge, and this is amazing. So Daniel had his position of authority through Nebuchadnezzar. He maintained his position through Belteshazzar, and now Darius, who's the third king, Cyrus would be the fourth, but Darius, who's the third king, again keeps him in that position of authority. Why? Because it is well known that Daniel is a man of God who the Spirit of the living God is in him. What if we were more concerned about showing off God within us than we were in making sure everything in our life was okay and taken care of and not inconvenient? Daniel is a shining example of what life can look like when God is on your mind. He kept rising to the top. All right, so in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. This is Darius now. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. You know what? Can we just be honest and pray that? I could use a dose of that. Amen. Lord, I thank you that each and every one of us would be faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Verse 5, so they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So they talked Darius into, oh, King Darius, you're so great. We think that no one should be able to pray to anyone except for you for the next 30 days. And Darius, being the humble man that he was, says, that's a great idea. And so in Daniel chapter 6, verse 9, King Darius signs the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, what did he do? He went home and knelt down as usual. Oh, say that with me. Say, as usual. As usual, in his upstairs room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. It becomes illegal to pray, and he just goes right on doing it. Why? Because it's what he always had done. Because he honored God more than he honored the king. However, he always treated the king, no matter which king he was under, he treated the king with respect and dignity. Always. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Verse 11, then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. Why? How did they know that? Because he always did it. He always was faithful to pray. So they went straight to the king and reminded him of his law. This, I have two boys at home, a third one on the way, and so potty humor is definitely a regular occurrence in our home. And so the almost title of this message was, Are You Regular? There you go, true story. Very, very true story. And Daniel was very regular. He was regular in two ways. He always prayed. Not when things got bad. See, Daniel didn't start praying when the king made the rule that you couldn't pray anymore. And he didn't stop praying when the king made the rule that he couldn't pray anymore. He just continued on right where he was in that relationship with God. Are you regular? You know, there's another way in which Daniel was regular is he got rid of all offense and bitterness and anger and malice. He honored those in authority. You know, it's here we are, and this week our President Trump called upon the governors to loosen up the restrictions for churches so that churches could again meet. And here we are, and our governor hasn't done that yet. So what do we do? Do we call our governor names? Do we fight for our rights? Or do we honor? Do we bless? Do we pray that God will have his way in the hearts of our governors, in the hearts of our president? You know, in one way, I'm glad that our governor didn't instantaneously open up churches again. What? How can he say that? I'll tell you why. Because if that was the case, then everything in our government would point to the fact that we again live in a democracy. I mean, no, sorry, in a dictatorship. We don't live in a dictatorship. We live in a democracy. We live in a republic wrapped inside a democracy, but that's another subject entirely. We are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And you know what? Not every one of those rights have been well executed in this season. Not at all. But that does not take away my responsibility to bless and not curse, to pray for those in authority, to use my authority as a man of God, just like you are, a child of God, just like Daniel did, to use our authority to bless and not curse. Because that is a much greater responsibility. And why we are on this earth. We're ambassadors, not of a president, not of a governor, not of a mayor. They're subservient to our king. To our king. Jesus, if you remember, every time he preached what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the kingdom. He didn't preach your rights. He preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. So are you regular? Are you getting rid of that refuse? That garbage that does not belong in your mind, in your heart, in your body? Are you purging the trash the way we're supposed to? Are you regular in your time of prayer with God Almighty? Because Daniel sure was. Let's wrap this up and see what happens. Chapter 6, verse 16. So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seal of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel, except for God. Then the king returned to his palace and spent that night fasting. How awesome is that? God's getting a hold of the king. So Daniel's a little inconvenienced, but God's getting a hold of the king. He refused his usual entertainment and could not sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" And he waited. He waited for a response. And Daniel answered, "Long live the king." He doesn't say, "You moron, I've been in here all night. How could you? I thought we were friends." He speaks honorably to the king who just chucked him in the lion's den. "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight." Ready? "And I have not wronged you, your majesty. I have not wronged you, your majesty." In all of Daniel's affairs, in all of his conversation, even though there was opportunity, he did not wrong the king. He did not speak harshly against the king. Wow. Verse 25. Then Darius sent this message. So this is now the second king to send a message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world because of Daniel. Because Daniel was living righteously in the middle of an uncomfortable, horrible situation that he was forced to serve, and he lived righteously and honorably, and he honored the king even in that. This is now the second king to send a message throughout all the world. This was the message: "Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This isn't one of those kind of messages that pat you on the back and let you know that anything you think is okay. Maybe you already turned me off. In that case, you're not listening right now. But Daniel was. He was listening to God all the time. He was a righteous man who acted righteously in the most uncomfortable situations. He watched his friends get thrown into a fiery furnace. He himself got thrown into a lion's den. He was a much older man at this point, too. And in all of that, no matter what happened, Daniel honored the king. And he lived righteously. He lived righteously. You know what? I cannot wait for each and every one of you to fill these seats. Really looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we're going to honor. We're going to honor the king. We're going to honor the mayor. We're going to honor the governor. We're going to honor the president. we're going to act righteously. Why? So that maybe, just maybe, a message like this can go out through the entire world. Because there's something inside of you and me that's different than how everyone else is acting. Because we're acting righteously. Because we're acting like a man or woman on fire for God. Because we're acting like someone who is different. When you're different, God can do anything through someone whose heart is abandoned to Him. I want to pray for you. Father God, every pun intended, I pray that my friend watching is regular. I pray, Lord God, that we would be wise enough and smart enough to honor regularly. That we would be wise enough and smart enough to purge every foul thing that's not a blessing out of our mouth and out of our heart. That we would bless and not curse. But Lord, most importantly, I pray that we would be regular in our prayer. That we would be regular in our time with you, Lord God. That there would actually be a noticeable difference, that we are containers of the Spirit of Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You are awesome. Thanks for watching today. God loves you. Remember, He is right there with you. He will never leave you. You can honor. We can honor. We can do this together. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We believe you can have a part in what God is doing through Passion Church. Your generosity helps us make a difference in the lives of those who are touched by the ministry here. Visit passionchurches.com or simply text the word PASSIONNJ to 77977 and follow the links to give. Text and data rates may apply. If you have any questions or feedback that you'd like to share with us, everything you need can be found at passionchurches.com. We can't wait to hear from you. On our website, you can download our app, connect with us on social media, and check out all that's happening here at the church. Again, thank you for listening right here at Passion Church.